glad you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's there. Everyone.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Wednesday, August 22nd, 2018. If you were tuned in the last few days, you've been hearing me brag up the interview that I hoped that we could pull off for today's edition of Mark and Friends. Greta is here in the studio. And Greta, I don't know if you knew this, but your name, if you flip the A and the T, it becomes great. And Jim Daly is in for a treat to meet you and present at your fundraising banquet. It's just coming up in a couple of weeks on Thursday, September 6th, the Living Alternatives Pregnancy Resource Center. It's a great banquet. I've attended with my wife many years and just thoroughly enjoy it. And we're privileged and excited that Jim Daly is going to come and participate and share. And we're fortunate, thank you God for the blessing of technology, so that we could have him on the phone with us this morning. And Jim, thank you for being available. We love your program. In fact, on WGNN, so we have two stations. You can hear Focus on the Family at 7 a.m., that prime time right before Mark and Friends, and then at 6 p.m. it re-airs, and then on WGNJ, 89.3 FM, it's at 8:30.
Okay,
so
cool.
People have a lot of opportunities to tune in and be blessed by your ministry work. So those unfamiliar with who Jim Daly is, I guess first and foremost, he's a faithful follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm sure you like to be recognized by that. You've had a good legacy going, and we continue to pray you up. Married to lovely wife Jean. You have two sons. You're the current president of Focus on the Family. You host a daily program heard on over 1,000 radio stations, two of ours being included in that number. You're an author, speaker. I put a sought-after encourager because you're used of God in a number
yes.
of people's lives. And
yes.
we're just excited to have you, that you're carving out time. You're so busy with many different things, but you saw the importance of being available today because you're going to be coming and sharing. And this is something that I guess you would say flips your switch. You get excited about. We'll let you share some of that journey and how God has brought healing and hope into your life. But your goals at Focus on the Family is to help families thrive. Though I think you'll share some of your faith journey, because I'd love the people to hear that, you know, that elevator, that 2 minutes you're going up in the elevator where you'll talk about being basically abandoned at five to an alcoholic father. And then you lost your mother, you know, within 4 years of that to cancer. And so you and your four other siblings were basically left on your own, spent some time in foster care. But God became real in high school, so I'm excited to hear about that. You're author of the book Finding Home, Marriage Done Right, Refocus, Living a Life That Reflects God's Hearts. You're doing just a lot of different things, but you're coming Thursday, September 6th. So thanks for being available, carving out this time. Why in your busy schedule are you making yourself available? And even this radio interview, when you can be doing lots of other things and there's many demands and requests for your time.
Well, first, Mark, great to be with you. And Greta, good to meet you by phone. I'm looking
yes.
forward to speaking at the event and lifting up life. I mean, we as Christians, this is the core thing.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And that's why I get excited about it, because if anything, we need to stand in this culture and proclaim that God is for life.
Yes.
And that is true of both ends of the continuum, from conception to the grave. And
mm-hmm.
I think we as Christians need to proclaim that boldly, without apology, and the fact that human life is sacred. We're made in God's image. So for me, I think this is the core thing that we as Christians need to be about. And I'm looking forward to being with everybody.
Yes, we're looking forward to it too.
Yeah, I know even one of the emphasis or one of the things you brought to Focus on the Family is a greater awareness of adoption and reaching out and helping women in crisis and obviously helping the family to thrive. But because of your own faith journey, you have some touch points with God mm-hmm. on how you want to uniquely empower others. Talk a little about that, please.
Well, yeah, I mean, you went through that really well, actually. You know, the things that God brought me through as an orphan child. My mom actually, even before Roe v. Wade, in some states, we were in California, a woman was able to get an abortion for medical reasons, being over 40 years old. My mom was 42 when she had me. I was the oops child. I'm sure people in your audience know who they are. We're introduced at parties by our parents by saying, "This is my accident."
Yeah.
And so, but my mom contemplated an abortion, and my dad talked her out of it. And my dad had his demons and his struggles with alcoholism and other things, but he was staunchly pro-life, and that allowed me to be born. And so I'm speaking from my own conviction that, you know, I appreciate the fact that my mom relented and made the decision, even in very difficult circumstances. We were poor. There were four other siblings older than me. Yet at 42, she decided to go ahead and have me. So I'm speaking from that conviction. And, you know, the other thing, too, and often when if I'm debating or talking with someone who's a pro-choice person, they'll use the excuse of socioeconomic difficulty, you know, these moms that can't afford to have a child. I would only respectfully say, I don't think it's your place to make that decision. I came from that kind of situation. My mom could have easily rationalized why she shouldn't have me. She couldn't afford me. That's true. But with God, there is a way. And I would just encourage all of us, women who are contemplating terminating the life of their child because of the financial pressure, trust God. Even though my mom died when I was 9, God had his arm around our little family. Yeah. He'll have his arms around your family as well. Just let God work through the life of your child. Don't terminate that child's life.
There's a quote in your book, Finding Home, that nothing is impossible with God. You know, even your climb to be the president of Focus on the Family, and how God, in your days in high school, reached down and grabbed you by the neck and helped you realize his love for you and bring healing and hope, and how you're providing that to so many people. And you would be like, I'm the least likely one to be in this position or to be the mouthpiece, if you will, of God. But he certainly has you and has equipped you for such a time as this in a very strategic position.
Well, and I appreciate that. I think that so often in our human experience and what we can feel, taste, and touch in this life is so limiting. And I think, all things are possible with God, and we need to believe that, particularly those of us that call ourselves Christians. And so when we're engaged in community, and that's why I love what Living Alternatives is doing, by talking to women about the difficulties they're having and the seemingly impossible task of having this child and the difficulty it will create. But to be able to counsel with them, hopefully show them an ultrasound of the baby, and let them know that this is a human being knitted in your womb. Wow, when those things happen, and Greta, you know the numbers, when a woman can see the child in ultrasound, get good, solid biblical counseling. I think as many as 69-70% of those women will say, yes, I want to give this baby a chance at life. They just need the confidence. They need the arm around them to say, we can do this together. Let's go for it. And then, you know, you got to trust God with the outcome. And that's what I'm so blessed after a very difficult start in life, very poor, all those things. I mean, there were days my poor mom worked as a waitress trying to feed 5 kids. Think of that. And there were days we didn't have food. I'd wake up in the morning, get ready for school, and I had to put Kool-Aid on my Cheerios because we didn't have milk. And by the way, that does not taste very good. I only tried that once. But, you know, that's reality. And the good news is God still cares for us, even in our valley. And that's what we have to trust in. And I know that your listeners know this, and I know that those that support Living Alternatives know this. We just want to come in, put an arm around everybody, remind them, and hopefully at this banquet be able to raise the financial support that will keep this great effort going to save more children.
Yes, absolutely. I know last year in 2017 there were 25 babies saved from abortion. I know, 25.
That's awesome.
I mean, it's just, I mean, it's like, whoa, when it's one, it's something, but when 25. Yeah. And then also, you know, we have the ability to be able to share Jesus. And I believe it was like 65 people gave their heart to the Lord or rededicated their lives.
Oh my goodness.
Last year. Yeah. It's just amazing who God sends in.
That's fantastic.
So
I mean,
thankful.
You think about what you're talking there, Greta. You have physical birth, so you're saving 25 children to actually make it into the world. Then 65 spiritual births,
yes.
People that have eternal life because of what you've done.
Yes.
That's. I just think this is why I get excited, Mark. I can't wait to get there and be part of it, because this is the core message of the Christian faith. You know, the Lord himself says, choose you this day, death or life.
Mm-hmm.
And what we're saying collectively is, culture, let's choose life. I've met with people in Planned Parenthood. I said, is there not a way? There's a win-win way here. Let's get these babies, let's get them into adoptive homes.
Yes.
That would be good for the mother, good for the child, and good for you who are working in the abortion industry. So many of the line workers, like Abby Johnson, they have said to me, I don't like doing what I do, but I know it's something I have to do. I mean, what a terrible thing to wake up to every day. Let's find a different alternative. Let's overwhelm them with the love of Christ and
That's
say,
right.
There are Christian homes that are more than willing to take 1 million children every year, that number that is being aborted. Can we be that solid of a witness in the culture? I think the answer is yes. We just need to match everything up. And I think that day is coming where we can pull this together and really win the day and mute those people who want to take a human life.
Yes.
And I think we're not far around the corner from that.
Yeah, and I know another privilege that the Lord has given me is being able to help women make that decision about adoption plans and walk through the adoption with them. We're not an adoption agency, but we help them walk through the whole thing all the way through. And
fantastic.
It is just awesome. And I'm just so privileged to be able to be part of that and to see these heroes do this. I'm just so thankful.
No, Greta, that is so good. And that's the goal. That's the goal of the banquet. That's everything. And I think it's wonderful to have 25 and, of course, or 26 people who were saved. Let's make it 50. Let's make it 100.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's exactly right. Let's just keep going
and let that momentum happen.
Yeah, and I was just looking at my sheet here. It's 69 people that gave their heart to the Lord or rededicated their 69 of them.
That's worth investing in, and that's the whole point. And I hope people there in Champaign get excited about it. I'm looking forward to being there. It's the first time I will have come to that area of the country, and, you know, all a bunch of good firsts for me. So.
Yes.
And, Jim, you won't be disappointed. Greta has had an outstanding reputation for many years, have put on many great banquets, has the passion and the heart. Has a great staff, a number of volunteers. As a radio ministry, we wholeheartedly support and try to get the word out, because she's doing a work that's incredible. Yes, saving babies, but witnessing, sharing God's love. It's love in action, and they do it in so many wonderful ways that you're really going to be treated. And we, I feel, have the best listeners in the country tuned into our frequencies. They love Focus on the Family. They're going to embrace you and encourage you and really seek to hear God's voice through you as you share your passion. And so we're just so thankful. Again, the banquet's Thursday, September 6th. The number to call to reserve your seats.
Yes.
Because there's a great meal. There's going to be testimony sharing by Jim Daly and other things that you'll be.
And usually we have anywhere from 700 to 900 people come.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So
now I'm nervous.
Right.
No, I am seriously looking forward to it. There's nothing I do here at Focus on the Family that brings me greater joy than when I get an opportunity to speak at Pregnancy Resource Center events. Because, again, this is it. This is stage one. Bring a life into this world who ultimately can make a decision for Christ and have eternal life. It doesn't get any more basic than that.
No.
And I'm very proud of what you do, Greta. Can't wait to be with you.
And I want to share just for a second here, too, that in 2016 we built another building right next to the Pregnancy Center, and it's Mercy's Refuge, and it's a home for women that really are seeking freedom from life-controlling issues and past traumatic events. And it is really awesome to be part of it. It's just a dream that has come true. And Jesus is so present there. So I'd love to have you have a tour of both places.
I'd like to see it. And, you know, let me encourage the listeners, because when you look at the first century church, second century church, you're doing what they did. You know, you look at the historians like Josephus and others. They wrote about these peculiar people called Christians who had put their life on the line for complete strangers. Mm-hmm. And they didn't understand it. They'd go into plague-infested areas of Rome to feed soup to the dying and the hungry. And they said, why do you do this? And they said, it compels us. Christ compels us to do this because of his love for everyone. And that changed an empire. Mm-hmm. And when we look very long-faced at what the culture is doing and where we're at, if we want to transform culture, it's putting your shoulder into this work, like what Greta is doing and many others in your community, and making a difference at that level. That's what changes the skeptic's mind. That's what changes a person like Josephus, mm-hmm. who then wrote about it. That's still today the challenge, and mm-hmm. I think we are capable in Christ to rise to this opportunity.
Yes.
In case you just tuned in, we have Jim Daly on the line, all the way from Colorado. We appreciate you taking the call. A very busy schedule, multitasking, doing a lot of things, but he's coming to our area on Thursday, September 6th. We want to make sure stay listening with us, because I'm sure Jim's actually spending extra time with us on the phone, but we'll give the phone number and how to sign up and how to get involved. But Jim, you mentioned about Christ's love, God's love, and because we have so many different listeners, we're a university community, a lot of people traveling through with our four frequencies. We cover a lot of East Central Illinois, West Central Indiana. There are individuals tuning in that are maybe captivated by your voice or your story. Wow, he's been through a lot, but he's talking about God's love. But that was crystallized or made known in your high school days. So you had a hard time, a hard go of it, but these people are saying, what do you mean God's love? How do you have a love from God? Who is this God you're talking about?
Yeah. Well, Romans 2:4, it says clearly that it is God's kindness that leads one to repentance. Mm-hmm. So for a moment, to the Christian community, let's remember that. The love of God is what makes the difference. It's the tool available to us that the enemy of our soul cannot compete with, and that's his love. And I know that sounds soft and tender and all those things, but it's true. People find it hard to resist someone who is sincere and is loving toward them. And mm-hmm. I think God has wired our spiritual DNA in that way. Even if you look in the culture at some of the conflict we have, I wish we as the church could have handled some things a little differently. Sure, we want to stand on principle. Never give up on that. But in that way, like in 2 Timothy, it talks about dealing with the world in kindness and gentleness. And I am a big believer in that. And I think that is the heart of God for the unbeliever. And for me, I was in that spot. We were all in that place at some point. I was the 15-year-old kid. I didn't know what was going on, probably more filled with fear than anything else. I was good in sports. I played football. I was the quarterback. And I remember I went to a Fellowship of Christian Athletes camp that was sponsored by my football coach, who was a Christian, and in a public school, no less. I remember asking him, are you afraid of being fired? And he said, no, they'll never fire me. I'm too good of a football coach. And I love that attitude. Mm-hmm. What a courageous heart. And anyway, I went to the Fellowship of Christian Athletes camp, and I think it was the quarterback for the San Diego Chargers at the time, Jeff Jeffers. Mm-hmm. Jeff Jeffries. And he said to me, he said to all the group there, about 50, 60 athletes, he said, has your father let you down? Has your stepfather let you down? I thought he had my dossier. He said, I'll introduce you to somebody who will never let you down, and that's Jesus Christ. And it was so clear, so compassionate, so right for where I was living. I went up and I gave my life to the Lord. I wobbled for 7 years, from 15 to 22. And what that meant is I was convicted. I would do things and feel bad. Lord, why did I go out Friday night after the football game and do those things? And then he'd pull me up and say, it's okay, let's keep moving. I'm going to teach you more. And then finally, it just gripped my heart. And I understood the message of the gospel and what God intended for me. And I'm telling you, the biggest thing that I love to confront right now is a person who says, I'm never going to become a Christian because, I knew this Christian never paid me what he owed me. Can I say, respectfully, that is one of the dumbest things I've ever heard. You're going to let a fallen individual who's imperfect, who doesn't live it well, keep you from eternal life. I just don't even understand that. Mm-hmm. Pursue God for the sake of pursuing God. Don't make the excuse that these Christian people have let me down, therefore I'm not going to find eternal life in Jesus Christ. I just don't understand why anybody would not try to prove or disprove the reality of Jesus and the New Testament and his death and resurrection on the cross. If that's your excuse, put it aside. Go prove it for yourself.
Yeah, Yeah. I think when they learn about the love of God and how he's for you and he's full of mercy and grace and compassion, and yes, there's righteousness and justice, but he's going to love you into the kingdom. He's going to tenderly care for your needs. He's going to provide an everlasting life. So it doesn't mean everything becomes perfect and everything works out and people don't fail you, but you can draw on his strength and his wisdom, and he guides you along and carries you through those hard times.
Yes.
Absolutely, and it's a far better life to live.
Yeah.
I guarantee it, because I've lived both, and this one is much better.
Yeah. Well, Jim, we're excited to have you, and you're excited to come, so it sounds like a match made in heaven.
Mark, it's great, and Greta, thank you for what you're doing. Really, publicly, I just want to say thank you for every day, you know, saving lives and helping particularly women in the clinic better understand what's happening to their bodies, the baby growing inside them, and the fact that God's hand is right there with that child in their womb.
Yeah.
How about closing out our time in prayer, and then we're going to give a phone number and stuff, so pray up what God's going to be doing, how he will bring this banquet to bear, his goals and his purposes that will align with what Greta's hoping and praying for, and how it all come together.
Yeah, I'd love to do that. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the opportunity to be there with brothers and sisters who love you, who care about you, and who want to help those around them. What a great mark of a Christian life. And Lord, I pray for the banquet, that there will be many, many people to come and to hear the words of everyone who will speak about their love for you and mostly your love for us. And the fact that I'm sure women will present how the clinic changed their heart and how they decided to choose life. And Lord, the amazing thing is the people that these children will grow into being, the adults that they will become. The doctors, the lawyers, the nurses, everything, the teachers, the husbands, the wives. Lord, this is life. This is what you intend for us. Not always the mountaintops, sometimes the valleys, but how much we learn about humility, about joy, about love in this life. And it's your design. And Lord, I pray that Living Alternatives will be able to save many children because of the outpouring of love from those who attend, the support, prayer support, financial support that will change lives literally forever.
Yes.
We're grateful. And thank you, Lord, for Greta and her team that does such a great job to make the evening all that it needs to be. And we thank you for your blessings and ask you for that night for success in the numbers of people who come to know you and the lives that will literally be saved. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Well,
Amen.
Thank you, Jim. I know you got lots going on, so we're going to say goodbye, praying you up, and looking forward to seeing you on Thursday, September 6th.
Yep, we'll see you soon.
Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
What a great guy. Are you not encouraged, listening friend, to come out on September 6th? It's a Thursday night. It's a free banquet, but we need you to call in to get your reservation made so we can provide the right amount of food and have the supplies. You're going to be blessed by what Jim has to share and Greta and her team. I've attended many of these, and I wholeheartedly love to see what God's doing locally here. They do a great work preserving lives, saving babies, helping women, and then even finding homes for newborns and just working with the community to help these many women and men, for that matter, that are involved in the whole process. So, Greta, how about giving us a phone number to call and then an email or something if they need more information or want to register?
Okay. The phone number is 217-398-6511. That's 217-398-6511 and www.hopeforaforafuture.com. That's hopeforaforafuture.com. And we will be glad to put your name down for the banquet.
Woohoo! I can't wait. It's a few weeks away, so call as soon as possible. We want to hear from you. Let's fill it up again. Let's get a record number out. It's a great evening. There's so many reasons to be blessed. And then Jim Daly, you got to just love that guy. And you can hear him and the many interviews he does on WGNN at 7 a.m. and 6 p.m. It's the same program re-aired in the evening. evening, and then on WGNJ it's at 8:30 in the morning. So 8:30 in the morning on 89.3 FM and 7 a.m. and 6 p.m. on 102.5, 103.9, and 97.1 FM. But, oh, thank you, Greta. We've been excited to get you in here. We hope that we'll load up that banquet hall and a lot of resources will be raised because you're doing a great work.
Thank you so much.
Help save some children, help equip some women to make the right decision, and then the adoption process, and just the many ways through volunteering, but certainly through your financial support. It'll be great. So it's all happening Thursday, September 6th.
Thank you very much.
All right, everyone. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you. Have a great day and night.
Thank you.
Who is that little fella with ketchup on his nose, spaghetti in his hair, and that Kodak pose? Who's sitting in that high chair, keeping rhythm with a spoon? He's got your full attention and you're crazy as a loon. Well, he might be the doctor that finally finds a cure, or the one who brings the schools back into prayer. He may be there with you when you're old and all alone. You don't know who's sitting in that high chair. Who is that little lady? As precious as a lamb, painting like an artist with that pudding in her hand. Who's sitting in that high chair with her supper on the floor? She's got you saying things like, I can't take it anymore. She might be the first lady to fly beyond the moon, or the one who changes history with her prayers. She may be there with you when you're old and all alone. Face in heaven's book is where the future treasures always go to hide. Oh, he might be the doctor that finally finds a cure, or she might change history with her.